the Arizona Sports Virtual Tailgate. Virtual Tailgate. It's your cue to call.
Harvey Frost. Harvey Frost from Santan Valley. It is your turn to call. Your time to call. 602-260-9870. 602-260-9870. You're the winner of the ultimate virtual tailgate experience that includes a brand new $700 barbecue grill and a custom Arizona Sports cornhole set. Harvey, you've got 10 minutes to call 602-260-9870. You are the winner. If you don't call in the next 10 minutes or so, we're going to open it up and we're going to give your spot to somebody else. So hopefully you do call in the next 10 minutes. Harvey Frost, Santan Valley, 602-260-9870. 5 o'clock hour, Burns and Gambo show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Happy Friday to you. We had Ray Anderson, the athletic director of ASU, on the show earlier today. And look, Larry Scott, for one reason or another, if it's bonus schedule payoffs being moved around or keeping vital information about Pac-12 testing to himself and not sharing that with other members of the conference, or if it's not pushing more for expanded playoffs, one reason or another, the commissioner of the Pac-12's come under a lot of heat the last couple of weeks. And yet when Ray Anderson was on with us earlier, Gambo, he expressed his support.
I think Larry Scott, particularly over the course of this pandemic, has really done a fine job of leading this conference and keeping the stakeholders collaborating and aligned, and given the robust metrics that we had to meet in terms of the medical and the science, he was able to keep everybody aligned, finally get to a point where he could convince the chancellors and the presidents, along with the medical information, that it was good and time for us to go. And so that's a long-winded way of saying I support Larry Scott. I think he's done a really fine job under horrifically difficult circumstances, particularly over the course of the last 6-7 months.
He said nice things about him there. There are other things that Ray said that didn't seem, you know, that seemed to suggest that he had some issues with some of the things Larry Scott had done. But he did give him credit, you know, through the pandemic and, you know, stuff like that, and in making sure that that they got the testing and they got back on the field for this season. So I'm not a fan of Larry Scott's, but Ray wanted to give him some credit, a little bit of credit right there.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of Larry Scott either. His media rights package obviously is way behind everybody else. Everybody knows that. The way he handled the testing and the fact that the Pac-12 was able to get this testing, and yet it didn't seem like he let anybody in on the secret. He wanted to be the one with the big reveal when that came out about a month ago. Then you heard about the bonuses and everything. And then the very latest that happened with Larry Scott, and I think it was Andy Staples of The Athletic, who, and I agree wholeheartedly with this, Larry Scott had a platform yesterday, an opportunity to use his power and his position of influence to try to convince the college football world that of all the years to expand the playoffs, this is the year to do it. Not permanently, but just given how crazy everything is, doesn't it make sense, rather than me sitting up here as Larry Scott trying to justify why a 7-0 team from the Pac-12 should get into your little Final Four, guarantee me a spot this year. Guarantee every conference champion out of the Power 5 a spot. Have a couple of wild cards. Expand it to 8. Ray Anderson, you asked him the question, why didn't Larry Scott push more for expanded playoffs when he had that platform yesterday?
That I can't put myself in his mind to figure that out. Maybe he's got information from some of the others that I don't have. Under the weirdness of this year, I think it's a reasonable argument that you should expand the playoffs. I know that, you know, they've got television contracts and other obligations where they're, embraced on the concept of the four. But you can speculate either way on that one, to be sure. I have to be fair and say that the idea of expanded playoffs is not at all unreasonable, and anybody who's criticizing, I can't fault.
You know what I hear in that soundbite, Gambo?
Yeah,
I hear a guy who wants expanded playoffs.
Well, for this year.
I hear somebody who wants expanded playoffs for this
Listen,
year.
Listen, Ray's going to say all the right things. If we have a 7-0 team, that team deserves to be in it. Then we've got to... He's going to say all the right things. But deep down, I think everybody knows. A 7-0 team in the Pac-12 is not getting in if everybody else plays their 8, 9, 10 games. It's just not going to happen. It's very unlikely, unless a lot of teams that are really good lose two games. I mean, a 9-1 team, a good team in the SEC, is going to get in over a 7-0 team in the Pac-12. So, you know, with that being said, I think, you know, Ray is just saying, yeah, I mean, that was the question I asked. I mean, I think Larry Scott should have pounded the table and said expanded playoffs this year. Nobody's playing the same amount of games. You know, we're behind. We have California and Oregon issues. We're not equal with everybody, but we still want a fair chance and expand the playoffs. You know, we don't care if we get in as the 8th seed. Just give us a chance. And Larry Scott didn't do that.
No, and I think what Ray Anderson basically – what he basically said was, man, if you feel like the playoffs should be expanded, I'm not going to argue with you.
Right.
I'm not going to tell you you're wrong. I'm not going to tell you you're crazy. I'm not going to tell you that's a bad idea. And we had this conversation a couple days ago, and I'll give credit where credit's due. It was actually our colleague Dan Bickley in a column he wrote a few days ago. And others have suggested it as well, but he was the first I read who had said, man, this year of all years, expand it. I mean, if you're going to expand the NHL playoffs, and if you're going to expand the Major League Baseball playoffs, if you're going to, you know, make all these concessions in what did Ray Anderson call it, the weirdness of this year, if you're going to make all these man, do it this year. Do it this year so we don't have to have the argument of whether a 7-0 Pac-12 team should get in. Make the Pac-12 champion automatically eligible. And here's another reason to do it. You're going to make up some of the money you've lost by not being able to have a full college football season this year, because you're going to give the TV networks more games that are more important.
Oh, like what baseball did.
More watched. Yes, exactly.
Like what baseball just did. Yep.
That are going to get better ratings. You're going to be able to sell the advertising space in those games for more money. So every athletic department budget in the nation right now is trashed because of what's gone on over the last few months. Make some of that money back. Expand your playoffs.
If they would have done that, you're right. They could have made more revenue. But it just from a Pac-12 standpoint, it would have made all the sense. And you could have made a great argument about how you are not equal to the other conferences. You had other issues and obstacles to overcome, hurdles that they didn't have. Mainly the governor in Oregon, the governor in California, the mandates, the issues that states here had when there was a spike in the coronavirus cases. I mean, even U of A shut down for some time, not too, you know, recently. There was just more issues here. So you should have made the case for an expanded playoffs. I mean, Bickley's idea is fine. Every conference champion and 3 wild cards. Hey, if 2 of those teams come out of the SEC, so what? You know, whatever it is, it is. But you know, by adding the 3 wild cards to the 5 conference champion, you got plenty of opportunity to pick 3 good teams that didn't win a conference championship to get in.
Ray was also asked, do you think your team can go 7-0? And if they do, do you think they're good enough to make the playoffs?
Well, hypothetically, I think both of those things are possible. And, you know, I'm supposed to be as optimistic as anyone. I feel very strongly about this team. And also, I believe that In the weird year that we are, I think the College Football Playoff Selection Committee will have no minimum number of games required. Certainly, playing enough games will help. And if you've got 6 or 7 games and you really show that you have a top-notch team, I think we could very much be in the conversation. So I'm optimistic about both of those things. I don't want to be perceived as making predictions, but you asked me the question, hypothetically, I think ASU could accomplish both of those things.
We will see. We will see.
Yeah, again, long odds. Long odds. Yeah. A lot to overcome. Long odds if a Pac-12 team is going to get in the playoffs. I'm not even thinking about it. I'd like to see ASU win a Pac-12 championship. That would be fine on my account. get the 7-0, play in a Rose Bowl. I mean, that would be a lot of fun to play in a Rose Bowl. So there's still a lot at stake if you don't get to the playoffs.
When it comes to the Cardinals' rushing attack this season, Kyler Murray has rightfully received most of the attention. How does being overshadowed by his own quarterback make Kenyon Drake feel about his situation? You'll hear from the Cardinals running back, and we'll find out if we have a winner in the ultimate virtual tailgate contest next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
The Arizona Sports Virtual Tailgate.
Virtual Tailgate.
Harvey Frost did not call from Santan Valley, so that means we are opening it up to caller number 10 at 602-260-9870. Caller number 10 is going to get a $700 barbecue grill, a custom Arizona Sports cornhole set, and a spot in this weekend's Arizona Sports virtual tailgate. Yes, Cam?
I was just in the promotions room. Those custom cornhole sets
are badass.
Freaking awesome.
They're badass.
I'm like, I told Anthony, like, find out who's making these, and I want to buy myself a set. Like, they look that good.
They're great. They're great.
Oh, my God.
Caller number 10 gets a set.
Yeah.
Caller number 10 gets a set, and caller number 10 gets a $700 barbecue. And caller number 10 gets to hang out with a couple of Arizona sports hosts this weekend before the Cardinals-Lions game at 602-260-9870. So, yeah, it's a very, very cool giveaway. And, again, text the word GATE to 620-620 for your chance to get registered for that. Kenyon Drake in the top 15 in the NFL in rushing and yet hasn't really had that big moment, hasn't had that big run, is completely being overshadowed by Kyler Murray when it comes to rushing the football. Drake's been fine, absolutely fine, but it's obvious Murray is getting most of the attention right now when it comes to the Cardinals' rush attack, which is the fifth best in the NFL. Kenyon Drake met with the media today and does not seem concerned about any of it in the least.
I mean, it's week two. It's plenty more opportunities left in the season. The most important thing in stat is that we're 2-0. I mean, we know from an offensive standpoint we're running the ball at a clip of like 170, 160 yards per game, you know, with the help of, you know, the whole supporting cast, not just me running the ball. So individually, my runs will, you know, pop. You know, if I stick to the script and integrity of the situated play. But, you know, other than that, I mean, we're winning. And that's the most important stat to me.
Like a lot of guys on this team, Gambo, Kenyon Drake is definitely saying the right things. That's for sure.
Yeah, listen, I mean, it's two games. Like, there's a lot of good players on this football team. There's going to be games when he stands out and, you know, other games when he doesn't. You know, what I noticed, and I said this to you earlier, is he's got four catches. For not a lot of yards either. For maybe it's like 16 yards total. So he could be a big
14
yards. He could be a big player in the passing game. But you got Hopkins, you got Fitz, you've had Kirk. You're not going to have him this week. Isabella stepped up. I still think Dan Arnold's got some games. It's like, ooh, I know they're running 73 plays in one game and 78 in another. And I think Drake's going to be just fine. I think you mentioned it. What, he's 15th in the NFL in rushing?
Yes, he is.
He's going to move up. He'll move up. Because he's a good running back, and they're going to use him a lot. And, you know, Chase is a weapon. There's just so many weapons on this team. You know, it almost is like when Steve Nash had Sean Marion and Amari Stoudemire and Jason Richardson, and you got all these players, and you got to, you know, everybody's got to get, you know, get some touches here. Week one, it was all DeAndre Hopkins. You're like, wow, I wonder if that's the way it's going to be. Week two, spread the wealth a little bit more, right? Fitz was more involved. But I think big games are coming for Drake. This could be one right here against a Detroit team that's not very good at stopping the run.
This Detroit team that allowed 149 yards rushing to the Bears in week one, 259 yards rushing against the Packers in week two. In that game, the Packers averaged 7.5 yards per rush for the game. So far this season, the Lions are allowing 6.5 yards per carry on the ground so far. So Drake was asked the question. If you get 25 carries against Detroit, what are you capable of?
I don't know. That is, my carries doesn't really dictate, you know, the outcome of the game. This is a three-facet game, and we play a complete team. I feel like the outcome should be favorable in our situation, but I feel like the more carries I get, the stronger I get in a game. Point in case, the last few games, not necessarily, you know, got the big play, but what we as offense love to do is end the game on our own terms, you know, in a 4-minute situation to, you know, run the clock out and not give the other offense, another team, another opportunity to go down and try to make it a closer game or win a game. So if we can have the ball in our hands and, you know, for me to, you know, run a ball and use off the clock and win the game on our terms, and it's a win for us.
Yeah, he had 37 yards in that final drive against Washington last week. He was obviously very fresh, and obviously the game plan was to win at the line of scrimmage, control the clock, wear down Washington, and that's exactly what they did with Drake.
Two big runs, too, right? I think he had a 13-yard run. I think the other one was like an 11-yard run. So there were two big runs as well, you know, for him in that that sequence right there. And he's capable of both, right? He's capable of being the guy that can close out a game with some really hard rushes, but he's also capable of some big runs, you know, 20-yard runs, 25-yard runs, and he's capable of being dynamic in a passing game. He's going to have a good season. He is. He's just too good of a player. It's just, you know, the first two games, it's not like he's been bad. Like you said, he's 15th in the NFL in rushing. It's only 14 running backs that have more yards than he is.
He hasn't been bad at all. I think what we all are, you know, trying to get accustomed to, and it's been so much fun to watch. I mean, let's be honest. Did anybody expect Kyler Murray to be this whirling dervish of a runner two games into the season? I mean, we're 1/8 of the way into the NFL season, and I think one of the biggest surprises is just the level of effectiveness and how often Kyler Murray is running the football. I mean, it's we always knew it was a strength of his game, but he's doing it at a much greater level and at a much greater frequency than I think anybody expected. So in trying to – I knew at the beginning of the season what I thought Kenyon Drake was capable of. I knew what kind of numbers I thought he was going to put up. It's the reason why I've got him in one of my fantasy football leagues. But I think Kyler Murray's usage and how he's performed has just sort of changed everything in terms of our expectations and what we think this team is going to be. We just weren't expecting this.
No. No, not that. I mean, not those dynamic runs. And, you know, we said this after the first week, right? He would have had 100 rushing yards if it wasn't for the two damn kneel downs.
Right.
Yeah, what he's accomplished in these first two games is striking fear into every defensive coordinator. I mean, I can't imagine the Detroit Lions sitting there, Matt Patricia and his team going over, watching these runs by Kyler Murray, and like, hey, what are you going to do? You know, we had Keyshawn Johnson on the show earlier, and you know, he was saying, oh, Jamal Adams will stop that. Okay. Yeah, but how many yards down the field is, you know, maybe it's 20 yards down the field then, and maybe Kyler slides or maybe he does tackle him. But, man, there's not that many players that are going to be able to get Kyler Murray on the ground when he's in the open field with space and he's running.
Yeah, it's – he moves the comp to Barry Sanders – was made our buddy Mike Jarecki. I was struggling because I was trying to remember who he said that in a way when Kyler Murray runs the football, it's very Devin Hester like. Remember when Hester was in the open field for the
sure.
Chicago Bears, returning punts, returning kicks, and his ability to just make everybody miss all the time? I thought that was a really interesting comp, too, because it was Matt Patricia of the Lions, who had said earlier in the week, he's kind of like a punt returner when he's out there running in space like that. I mean, he's just so hard to bring down, and he's so elusive, and he's so shifty. And so whether it's the Barry Sanders comp from Greenberg or the Devin Hester comp from our buddy Mike Jarecki, those are the comps that are being made to Kyler Murray. You never hear a quarterback talked about in terms like that.
No, I mean, the Barry Sanders one was fascinating, right? Because you don't, you know, you usually, when you're talking about a quarterback, you're always comparing him to other quarterbacks. I had a guy send me a message. Is he like Doug Flutie? I mean, Doug could run, but he wasn't a very good quarterback. He had some good years in Buffalo. But like that, that's a different level of player. And then, you know, Cunningham was too big and Lamar's too strong. And, you know, Steve Young was a southpaw and a lefty. It's just like, you try to find these comparisons quarterback wise. You're like, man, I just don't see any. I can't find any. So then you go to the running back and, oh, okay. Who would have thought that you would have went to the running back to find a comparison? Barry Sanders. Okay. Just take the running ability. Don't forget the throwing. open field running, the ability to make guys miss, the cutbacks, the skip to the loo, that stuff. Okay, yeah. All right, that reminds me a little bit of Barry Sanders, sure. For those of you that didn't see Barry Sanders, go home and YouTube Barry Sanders and watch Barry Sanders run, and you might see a little bit of Kyler Murray in there.
Credit goes out to Nathan Martinez, today's virtual tailgate winner. Congratulations, Nathan. Enjoy your time on Sunday hanging out with a couple of us here on Arizona Sports before Sunday's game against the Lions. When we come back, Gambo mentioned it a second ago, Keyshawn Johnson and his comments about the Cardinals. Gambo and I are now actually in a friendly rivalry and a bet with Keyshawn Johnson about the Cardinals. What exactly is it that Keyshawn is so down about when it comes to the Cardinals? You'll hear and we'll react next on the Burns and Gambo Show. I want to say this right off the top, because I know Gambo feels the same way about it. We are both very, very appreciative that Keyshawn Johnson of ESPN and the new morning show radio host there on Keyshawn J. Will and the Zubin Show on ESPN Radio. We're very appreciative that he not only engaged both of us on Twitter, that he did it with, you know, good-natured heart, had some fun with it. We had him on our show today. We had a back and forth about this bet that we now have with Keyshawn Johnson, where if the Cardinals win 7 games or less, we're going to give money to the charity of Keyshawn's choice. And if the Cardinals win more than 7 games, he's going to give money, a lot of money, to the charities of our choice here on the Burns and Gambo Show. And we appreciate all of that. He was a really good sport about it. We had a lot of fun having him on. That being said, have you seen some of the reaction among our listeners on social media to some of the things that Keyshawn Johnson said about the Cardinals and why he still thinks he's not buying them? Have you seen any of this?
I have not. I have not.
There are a lot of people who still, and again, I mean this with all due respect to Keyshawn, there are a lot of people out there listening to this show who think that Keyshawn just doesn't really know what he's talking about.
He doesn't.
With the Arizona Cardinals. That's because he doesn't.
He doesn't. Well, I mean, I'm telling you, I had a former NFL player, not Jay Feely, by the way, because everybody thinks it's Jay Feely, texted me today during the interview, and he's like, let me get to it. He said he's changing his argument. He goes, isn't it the bet 7 wins? Now he's talking about the playoffs. Like, right. the bet is 7 wins. He doesn't think the Cardinals will win any more than 7 games. And that's when I reached out and I called him out. And, you know, instead of calling him a dope and an idiot, which is normally what I do, I decided to be nice. And then he responded, and we ended up making this charity bet over it.
Yeah, well, you tweeted at him, hey, Keyshawn, so the Cardinals are a 6-7 win team, not made for the NFL to make a run. Their time of possession is 7th in the NFL, because that's why he was saying he didn't think the Cardinals were built to win, because they weren't a time of possession team. Well, they're 7th best in time of possession in the NFL. That's when you offered the bet. Then somebody responded to you to say that he hasn't really watched the Cardinals, and you tweeted at him, he hasn't watched the Cardinals, that is obvious. And that's what kind of stirred Keyshawn up a little bit, because then he started tweeting you back, and then the bet was made, and then he looped me into it. What's wrong at Burnsy987? Can't kick up $250 to match my $500? Come on, man, it's for charity. Well, now I've got my manhood question, so I got to get in on this bet all of a sudden. And before you know it, we've got this huge bet with Keyshawn Johnson, and he comes on today and he says, well, you were the sidekick. You kind of had to go along with the bet. You didn't have much of a choice.
But I offered a $250 bet. He upped it to $500. And then I said, okay, well, I'll match your $500. And by that time, he had already tweeted you and said, well, why don't you get in? But by that time, I already said, okay, I'll go up to $500 on the bet. And then you said, you know, you'll put it in a $250. So either way, listen, the money goes to a great cause. We don't mind doing bets that go to charity. We love when money goes to, you know, great reputable charities. And so that's the fun in this, okay, no winner or loser here. It's just the money will go to a charity, although we very much hope that it's Keyshawn's money going, because that will mean that the Cardinals won more than 7 games.
Keyshawn calling me a sidekick is truly one of the highlights of my career. I will always sock that away in my mind.
Of somebody. When you're the co-pilot, you tend to get dragged into anything. Birds of a feather flock together, right?
It's true. I liken it to a bar fight. You and Keyshawn got into a bar fight, and since I'm your buddy at the bar, oh, God, all right, I guess I got to get in on this too, right? I got to have my guys back.
Would you let me hit him over the head with a Michelob Light bottle, or would you help?
I think I've been hit over the head with a Michelob Light bottle in my past.
I believe you have. I want to play some of this sound. That's so funny. That makes me laugh. Arizona hasn't played anyone yet, said Keyshawn. Anyone is in the defending Super Bowl runner-up San Francisco 49ers?
You beat the San Francisco Super Bowl attendees, not winners, but attendees, right? That's a good notch on your belt. Then you beat Washington coming off of just an amazing victory against Philadelphia. The Philadelphia Eagles, the juggernauts of Carson Wentz. You beat those two teams, right? You did that. That was great. Now you're getting ready to take on the mighty Lions and Matthew Stafford. Woo!
Yeah.
All I'm saying is slow down. Slow down.
The thing is, you can only.
I might be wrong. I think that's sarcasm in there. I think Sean was being sarcastic.
Okay,
with
but it gets worse. Like, it gets worse than the Lions. It's the Panthers. It's the Jets. It's the Giants. It's Miami. It's. Like, man, like, this is the schedule they have. You know, the bet isn't that they'll win the Super Bowl. The bet isn't that they'll win a division. He said they're a 6-7 win football team. I called him out on that. And he wants to make fun of the schedule. But, this is who they have to play. You play who's put in front of you.
But here's the thing. The logic is still flawed. It's the San Francisco 49ers. And this was before they lost everybody to injury. This was before everybody went down. This was before the second unit that they're rolling out there on Sunday against the Giants. I don't know how, in your right mind, you could discredit that win as being a function of the schedule. They won 13 friggin' games last year. They had a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl, and we're going to discredit that win as being a function of a weak schedule? I don't understand that. I don't understand that at all. It doesn't make any sense.
No,
it's nonsensical.
I think when he said it, he probably didn't look at the schedule. He probably just thought, you know, this division. His biggest argument was the division. You Jamal Adams and Aaron Donald. Okay, that's four games against those two teams. There's still 12 other games.
Yeah.
You know, you're only playing four against, you know, his argument was how good Russell Wilson is and how Kyler can't run by Jamal Adams and he's not going to run through Aaron Donald and, you know, stuff. That was his argument. That's four football games. I mean, even if they went 0-4 in those games, we're still talking about can the Cardinals win eight games? And they're 2-0. Right now.
And then he started arguing about why he didn't like the Cardinals' offense. He used the time of possession argument earlier in the week when he was on his radio show. Then he told us he still doesn't like their offense.
There's nothing wrong with being excited about it. But what happens to fans of teams, the moment that you don't agree with what they agree with, you become the bad guy. My thing is, I don't like that style of offense to win long-term in the National Football League. I never once said Kyler Murray wasn't a good fit for that offense. I never once said that. My whole thing is that offense, when it starts to snow and it gets cold and you start playing on the road, can you run the football and can the defense get the stops that you need?
Can you run the football? They've got the fifth best rushing attack in the NFL through 2 weeks.
You know, we talked about this yesterday, right? There was a story that Jordan sent us the top rushing attacks in the NFL. They weren't top 10. They weren't even top 10.
Yeah, I know. I mean, statistically they are, but that was a listing of their running backs,
yeah.
Right? And I think Keyshawn's falling into that trap. And look, he played, all right? He played at the highest level you possibly can play it. But I think the NFL is starting to shift from what it was to what it is. And I think... In the middle of that shift, you can't just look at a team's running backs and say that's the definition of what makes them a great running team. That's not what the NFL is anymore. The NFL's starting to change and evolve right before our eyes. And I think Keyshawn's getting caught up in that a little bit. Like, what used to define a great rushing attack, not what currently defines a great rushing attack. Because right now the Cardinals have a pretty darn good rushing attack.
Listen, we could pick somebody in the national spotlight media out on a weekly basis that doesn't believe in the Cardinals because they don't watch them. I mean, we could.
My friend, that is the most, that is the truest thing you've said all day. Yeah. Yes, we could.
What is it? How many games are left after this? There'll be 13 games. So we could have 13 more bets. You know, yeah. I mean, just there are national people that don't watch this team on a regular basis. They get quick glimpses. They look at highlights. They'll read some stats and, you know, and that's it. Now, look, if the Cardinals lose to the Detroit Lions on Sunday, you know, we might come back and reevaluate this, right? Because obviously if you lose to the Lions, there's going to be some weaknesses that were exposed. There's going to be some weaknesses that were exposed that have been hidden in these first two games. Now, if they win that game and they get to 3-0, man, we're just talking about winning five out of your next 13 games to get to 8 wins. I mean, that's not a lot.
Speaking of those predictions, nearly every prediction for Sunday's game in Glendale has the Cardinals beating the Lions. Should that make us nervous? We'll talk about that coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. Time for the Coors Light What's On Tonight. The games that we're going to watch this evening brought to you by Coors Light. Sports is back. Head to Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers for draft specials and watch your team today. Top of the sixth right now at Chase Field in game one of the doubleheader between the D-backs and the Rockies, and the Diamondbacks are shutting out Colorado 4-0 behind another strong performance from Zach Gallen. Christian Walker mashed a two-run homer in this game as well. We're going to join this game in progress and simulcast it on ESPN 620 as soon as we're done here on the Burns and Gambo Show. And then, of course, it'll roll right into game two. And then, of course, the other game on tonight, it is game five of the Eastern Conference Finals between the Miami Heat and the Boston Celtics. Will the Heat clinch a spot in the NBA Finals with a win tonight? I thought for sure, this series was going seven, and it still might. But Miami is in the driver's seat when it comes to the Boston Celtics right now. This game just got underway.
Yeah, and like I said, three close games that Miami won, two of them by one possession, one of them by two possessions. These have been really tough battles, but Miami has persevered at the end of these games and found a way to win.
Yeah, it's impossible, at least for me, to not be impressed by what Miami has done so far this postseason and the way Pat Riley, Eric Spoelstra, the way they continue to keep that organization relevant despite, you know, they had the super team with LeBron and D-Wade and Bosch, and they were able to survive the aftermath of that. I'm very impressed by what Miami has done. So, looking around this Sunday for predictions on the Lions-Cardinals game, have you found anybody who has predicted that the Lions are going to win this game? Because I haven't seen one. Have you seen one?
The only ones that I saw was in Sports Illustrated. They did a list where they had a whole bunch of people, you know, pick the scores of the game. And there were two people out of a group that took that one was Zach Hood and the other was Gene Chamberlain that predicted that the Lions would beat the Cardinals. But again, that was only two people out of a group of people that were picking. So, there was John Marican, Alan, I can't even pronounce his name. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. Out of 18 people that were making predictions, 16 took the Cardinals and 2 took the Lions. Actually, 3. 3 took the Lions and 13 took the Cardinals. So that's Sports Illustrated. 13-3 liked Arizona over Detroit. In the Detroit paper, all of their main writers picked the Cardinals to win the game.
Well, and what blew me away about the Detroit news predictions was not only did all of their writers pick the Cards to beat the Lions, some of these scores they had the Cardinals posting. Rod Beard, Cardinals 40, Lions 21. John Nyo, Cardinals 28, Lions 24. Bob Wojnowski, Cardinals 37, Lions 24. You talk about, and it's all well-deserved, But you talk about a lack of faith in a defense. Man, totally. I got two Detroit News predictions, two Detroit News writers who both say that the Cardinals are going to drop at least 37 on the Lions on Sunday. That's how bad they think Detroit's defense is.
Well, yeah, their defense is really bad. I mean, I don't know if they drop 37, but I really doubt the Cardinals are going to score 22 points in this football game. I think they could get, you know, into the 30s, and they might have to. I mean, this will be the first big challenge for Vance and his defense, because Hockenson and Galladay and Marvin Jones and their rushing attack's pretty good. So, you know, they could score points. I mean, they could. Now, Matthew Stafford, guy throws for a lot of yards every single year. I mean, so their offense is very capable of putting up a lot of points.
Are you nervous about it at all? Are you nervous? This time a week ago, we were looking at the Washington game, and you were very confident that it was going to be a comfortable victory, and I was with you. I thought, yeah, I think Gambo's right. I think it's going to be a comfortable win. I don't feel nearly as emboldened to say that or think that about this game. This game's got me a little nervous. You said it earlier. You think of the next three games they've got on the schedule, this is the most losable of the three for the Cardinals, right?
Sure. Yeah, and the other two are on the road. I mean, I think they'll have an easier time against Carolina and the Jets than I. Yeah, this game, just because if it gets into a shootout, you know, that's Detroit's their really only chance. I don't think Detroit's trying to think that they can win a 21-17 game. I highly doubt that. So I think that they're very capable of putting up a lot of points. You've mentioned several times this week about how they've had a bunch of double-digit leads in these games. Now, they've blown them because of their defense. And again, 0-2 teams are desperate. If they lose, their season's over, and if they win, their season continues to be worth something. So 0-3 is just, you know, it's not guaranteed that you will make the playoffs, but it's close.
It's close. Yeah. It's real close. It's like somebody went back, I think it was Barnwell at ESPN, went back and looked at the numbers and even accounted for the expanded playoffs and said, okay, let's say since 2002 when the playoffs expanded, let's say they were letting in 14 teams back then too. 80 teams would have started 0-3, and only two of the 80 would have made the playoffs in the last 18 years of NFL football, even if you expand it out. So that works out to about a 2.5% chance of making the playoffs if you start 0-3. If you start 0-3, you're done. You're done. And so that will be a big motivating factor, no doubt, for the Lions this week. The rest of the NFC West, for what it's worth, the Rams are in Buffalo taking on the Bills. That should be a really good morning game. I'm actually looking forward to watching that.
You know what?
I
thought the same thing. That is one game. You know, the Cardinals are going to play both of these teams. They haven't seen either one of them yet. You know, you want to see if anybody in the NFC West is gonna lose a game outside of San Francisco. So yeah, that Rams Buffalo game is one that I looked at too and said, okay, I want to watch that.
49ers at the Giants, obviously San Francisco with all of their injuries, and the Seahawks are hosting the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday. That also should be a very good game this week.
Yeah, Dallas got a win last week that they probably shouldn't have had, but I still think Dallas has a lot of talent and they can win a bunch of games. So that's, yeah, there are good games in the NFC West this year. The NFC West this week, there really are.
All right, that's going to do it for us here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Thanks for hanging out with us, as always. We certainly appreciate it. Good to have Gambo back in the studio, if at least just for a day. We'll be back with you on Monday at 2 o'clock, talking all things Cardinals, Lions. Diamondbacks baseball is coming up next here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. So thank you very much for hanging out with us. Gambo, have a good weekend. We'll see everybody Monday at 2 o'clock.
Have a great night, everyone.
Goodbye.